Our second reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, 11 through 19. Hear the word of the Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. God of grace, help us to hear from your word how we may serve you by serving each other. Amen. In the first century, a skin disease like leprosy was one of the very worst things that could happen to a person. Besides the disease itself, lepers were considered unclean, which meant they were not allowed to be in regular society. If they were walking out of their living space, they had to yell, "Unclean, unclean." They were relegated to the worst patch of land, in the most undesirable part of town, and were ignored by mainstream society. They had to depend on the city dump for food and water, and they had only contact with each other. A sad existence indeed. Is there still leprosy today? Yes, but it is called Hansen's disease. Hansen's disease is an infection caused by bacteria, which grow very slowly and can take 20 years to develop symptoms. This can cause the infected area to lose the ability to sense touch and pain, which can lead to injuries like cuts and burns. If left untreated, the nerve damage can result in paralysis of hands and feet. Still, a lot of stigma and prejudice remains about this disease, and those suffering from it are isolated and discriminated against, just as they were in Jesus' time. Continued commitment to fighting the stigma through education and improving access to treatment will lead to the world free of this very treatable disease. The men in our story were not acting in a way that was harmful to anyone. They were merely approaching Jesus to be healed. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus healed them. As grateful as they all probably were, only the Samaritan, the foreigner, came back to thank Jesus and praise him. Jesus then said, "Your faith has made you well." It isn't that Jesus didn't heal all of them. He only told the one man it was because of his faith. Figuratively speaking, what is today's leprosy? What disease carries the stigma today that leprosy carried in Jesus' time? If you listen to the news after a shooting or other crime involving group violence, what is asked about the person most often blamed, sometimes even before the evidence has been gathered? What's the first questions the newscasters ask about the suspect, even if the suspect has been killed? I'm talking about mental illness. Mental illness is more pervasive than you might think. 1 in 4 adults will have a mental illness challenge in a given year. The most common reason for people needing disability financial assistance is mental illness. The most common mental illness conditions are anxiety and depression, and can range from very mild to very severe cases. The most serious mental illnesses are major depression, bipolar disorder, and schizophrenia. Mental illnesses are diagnosable health conditions involving changes in emotions, behaviors, and thinking, or a combination of these. Mental illnesses are associated with problems and distress in functioning in social, work, and family relationships. Most mental illnesses can be managed with medications and other therapies. For hundreds of years, people with mental illness challenges have been blamed for their issues. To some extent, that still happens. We have been told we suffer because of sinfulness. In a less enlightened age, someone with an illness like schizophrenia could have been seen behaving strangely because of possession. However, we now know that mental health issues have nothing to do with sin. They are illnesses of the brain. Just like any other organ of the body can get sick, brain illness can happen too. People are not wrong for having a mental illness. We have not sinned as this cause. We are unwell. All people sin. We've been taught that from the beginning of our Christian education. And we know that God's forgiveness is the antidote for that sin. But brain illnesses are not sins, they are illnesses. We all remember the COVID pandemic. It was not that long ago, believe it or not. When it first began, many people were more interested in finding out which person or group to blame than they were at finding a vaccine or a medical treatment. Remember that at first it was called the China flu, as if China had sent it to us to do us damage. It was an illness, not a curse or a weapon. Mental illness is just that, an illness. In a similar way, do you remember the passage from John chapter 9 that goes like this? As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him." The disciples were asking a very common question for their time, as it was common to blame one person's illness on another person's tragedy. And I understand that something like blindness or leprosy can be seen, whereas mental illness is not always visible. But in this instance, as well as most of the Bible, it is very important to remember when this happened. This was how medical issues were seen. Remember, there was fire, stone, water, and air were considered the things that made up illness in those days. There was little, if any, separation between physical illness and emotion or feelings. I remember as a child seeing an older person waiting on a bench for a bus. She was making faces with her mouth and sticking out her tongue. I learned later that her movements were caused by psychiatric medication, not illness. It is a nerve disorder you may have heard of called tardive dyskinesia. Older medications like Thorazine can cause this in some patients after prolonged use. Information like that can go a long way in destigmatizing mental illness. So what can the church do with and for people like me who have a mental illness? Some of the work lands on the pastors. In 2016 article in Christianity Today, pastors were asked how often they talk to their congregations about mental illness. 92% responded that they have talked about about mental illness in sermons or other gatherings once a year, rarely, or never. There are also things in the church that congregations can do. First, the church should be a place of patience and not a center of judgment. No one should feel ashamed to come to worship. Second, churches need to educate themselves to better understand different mental health conditions and what they can do to support the folks who have them. Third, churches should support those when they are in an increased time of suffering. A friend of mine shared this story. A few years ago, I had knee surgery. When I was convalescing, I had no shortage of food, flowers, and visits from the church. Even the pastor came by. Last year, when my husband came home from the hospital after attempting suicide, there were no casseroles, no flowers, and no visits. His illness was just a different part of the body. Also, you may remember Pastor Rick Warren from a few years ago. After the suicide of his son, he said to his congregation, "There is no shame in diabetes, there is no shame in high blood pressure. But why is it that if the brain stops working normally, there is supposed to be shame in that?" Some folks approach someone with mental health challenge by saying, "I wouldn't know what to say." Well, as someone who has been dealing with mental illness for 57 years, my response would be, talk to me like you would talk to anyone else. The weather, the grandkids, what is God doing in your life? Have I asked Jesus for a cure for me? Of course. Do I get frustrated when I hear stories like the one we read from Scripture today, and yet I still have my illness? Of course. Yet when I was first called to seminary, I knew I wanted to work with people like me and our loved ones. So I began teaching classes on depression and anxiety and some more common mental illnesses. There's a difference between curing and healing. Jesus can cure, erase all vestiges of an illness. We can help heal each other and the world of the stigma placed on those with mental health challenges. By treating all people with dignity and respect, by listening to each other with open hearts and minds, and by holding each other in consistent prayer. Welcome the stranger. Welcome those stigmatized as unclean. There's no sin in mental health challenges, only in turning those who suffer away. Amen.